Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of uplifting, educational, and intimate discussions with local powerful women that have all made the commitment to take their businesses and organizations to a higher level. These entrepreneurs have turned their dreams into reality. They work hard, outshine, and they mean business. These women reveal and share their inspirations, milestones, and successes with your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Power. I'm Nicole Perry, and my first guest today is Isabel Wells. At With All in Order is the name of your company. Orderbywells.com is your website, and we'll say that again at the end of the show, and everybody can find all of your information on our Power page and all those other good places. But I did read in your bio that you majored in nursing, and I did not know that about you. I just always thought you were an organizer. So how did you transfer from the nursing to the organizing?
Well, life happens, you know. I spent about 10 years in nursing after graduating from college and got married, had my first child, and thought for sure that I would continue nursing, and I decided no, I was going to be at home with her, and had two more children, and it was just impossible to do nursing on the schedule that I wanted to do it.
Yes.
You know, mother's hours and the whole thing.
A lot of people that still do it,
yep.
But they work it, they have to form the nursing schedule into their life, right?
Exactly.
Because not everybody gets the perfect nursing hours.
Absolutely, and I tried. I actually did some substitute school nursing for a while in my kids' schools. But that really wasn't a good fit for me. I didn't like it very much. And I decided, you know, I think I'm going to try something different, have a business of my own.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a very organized household, and I just thought this is something that I could really do and enjoy doing it. And I'm still helping people.
And do it permanently.
And,
yeah.
And to me, it's still a way of promoting good health. Because being disorganized means you have some stress in your life,
yeah.
And stress is not good for your health.
Yep.
So it's just another way for me to be a nurse and help people. I enjoy it a lot.
In a different way.
In a different way,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And what do they say? They say a cluttered home, a cluttered life. Isn't there some saying or something? I can't think of it right now.
Yeah, something about a cluttered mind.
Something about a cluttered mind.
Forget
yeah.
what it is, too.
A cluttered home is a cluttered mind. I don't know. Something like that.
Something. Clutter yeah. there somewhere.
So I know you're not afraid to get your hands dirty, and you dive right in and do whatever it takes to help your clients. How do you just dive in? How do you... Tell me how you do it when you show up at someone's house.
Well, as far as the getting dirty part, I mean, it's a part of the job, really. I mean, especially if you're doing basements or attics or, you know, any dirty area. If you're even doing a kitchen and you want to reorganize the pantry, you have to clean the pantry shelves off. You can't just put things back on a dirty shelf. So
yeah.
I do get my hands dirty. But when we decide what to do, you know, it's up to the client to decide what the most important part of, you know, what most important part of their
mission.
Disorganization or
their mission,
whatever their goal is for their organizing, what bothers them the most in their work area or in their home,
mm-hmm.
and then we go from there. And if it's a dirty area, it's a dirty area. Put gloves on, and you know, we dive in.
What is the most exciting thing that you love to clean and organize? Like, what area of the home excites you the most?
I have to say the kitchen, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I do like organizing kitchens.
Well, because it's the pantry.
Yep.
It's the organizing of all the dishes.
I have done more junk drawers than you can
count. Oh my God, the junk drawers. and then that's the hub for all your bills. That's
yeah.
the hub.
Yeah, and many people have little desks in their kitchens. You know, they don't have the opportunity. They don't have an extra room for an office.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like some people would like. But they have, you know, little niches in their kitchens. Where everything goes on. Some of their kids do their homework there. They
yep.
pay their bills there. Like you said, they have a computer there.
Yep.
It gets very cluttered very fast. And if they don't continually declutter and organize, it really piles up. And I take care of a lot of those.
I want to talk more about that continually. I want to talk more about that later. But as far as, you know, having all this clutter,
mm-hmm.
I have this really clever question. What is visual clutter? And are we as, little air quotes, people in this day and age, are we blind to it?
Well,
isn't that so clever? I just loved my little question. Sorry.
Visual clutter and blind,
but
right.
Are we blind? We don't even see it anymore. We're so used to it being there. We just don't see it.
So our generation, so this time in our lives, where in our parents' generation, they had things around them that they used. They didn't have a lot of extra, in case of kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I might need it someday kind of stuff.
Jicks, and now, I call them jicks, just in case.
Just in cases, yeah. cases of just in cases. But I think what people have problems with these days is just there's so much accessibility to things. You see so much. You have so much on the internet you can buy so easily that mm-hmm. people are just constantly filling their homes up with things they probably don't need.
Well, and if you have a big mess, like in your closet at home with your clothes, mm-hmm. and you're out buying white turtlenecks, but you already have white turtlenecks, you just can't find them. I mean, that's part of the reason why people are buying so much. It's just that they can't find what they already have.
Absolutely, yeah. And I always tell my clients to shop at home first. Look, if you can't find what you're looking for at home, then maybe you might need it. But and if they can't find it at home, maybe they have a need to be organized too. But
I love cleaning closets.
Yeah, closets are my second favorite thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, how do you know that you, aside from obvious reasons, like we've seen these shows, reality shows. I saw this one hoarder show where the guy had to crawl into his home mm-hmm. through the kitchen and that kind of thing.
Right.
How does a person know that they are a hoarder or they're on their way of really becoming a major hoarder?
Well,
because some people don't even know it, I don't think.
One of the things I took from your question earlier was that it's a borderline, when you say borderline hoarder, there probably really isn't any such thing as a borderline hoarder. You're either a hoarder or you're not. It's just at what stage of hoarding.
Well, I feel like I'm a borderline hoarder in my basement.
No, you're not.
in my basement.
No, you're not. You're not a hoarder. No, hoarders, I mean, it's a physical manifestation of a psychological problem.
Mm-hmm.
Hoarders hoard for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's generally something to do with their childhood or something that's happened to them in their adult life.
That they're just afraid to let go?
They're collecting things as a substitute for something else, but usually. I'm not a psychologist.
I was going to ask
you that. And I'm not, and I'm not a hoarding expert. Matter of fact, I don't even work with hoarders because I worked with hoarders a couple of times at the beginning of my career. And I decided that was probably not a good thing for me to do because mm-hmm. they need more support. They need psychological help. They need more support than I was ready to deliver. So.
Yeah, you can't just come in and clean it. And they'll just go right back to where they were.
Exactly. And, mm-hmm. It's a very long process, and you can't just go in and do it and leave and expect it to stay that way.
Yeah.
And, I feel really badly for these people. There are definitely reasons why they are like they are. And it's not just your normal organizing job.
Yeah.
To go into a hoarder's home.
Almost an epidemic. I mean, how many people they have on the shows.
Well, you know what? It's probably no different than it has been, only they're being exposed more because of the shows.
Oh.
I mean, there have always been hoarders out there.
Yeah,
and
there
people,
you go.
People never called them hoarders. They just called people, they had lots of stuff,
Yeah.
And that's just the way they were. But now they're on TV.
I hate to, words are very important to me. And I see I'm already using the word hate, and I don't even like that word. But I'd rather not use the word should. How about how often could somebody continue to maintain or keep themselves organized? Like each week, each month?
It depends
so that you don't get out of control.
It depends on what it is you want to organize. There are things that need to be done on a daily basis, like the things you do, like putting away your makeup when you're done putting it on.
Mm-hmm.
Or taking the dishes out of the dishwasher and putting them away. That's sort of a daily kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then there are things that need to be done weekly. Maybe picking up all the magazines that you've accumulated during the week and putting them away. Or picking up, filing papers away that you've accumulated during the week. And then there may be things that need to be done monthly.
Yeah.
And things that need to be done semi-annually, like changing out your seasonal clothes in your closet and going through and getting rid of stuff that way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends on what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's definitely certain things that need to be done at certain times just to sort of keep up with things.
Yeah.
So you don't get out of control and, and need to call an organizer.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But that's what you're here for.
Yeah.
So your company is All in Order.
Right.
And your website is orderbywells.com. Again, we'll post that information later on. We are going to take a quick break. And be right back with Isabella Wells. I'm Nicole Perry, and you're listening to Power right here on 95.9 WATD.
Does your home need a facelift? Are you tired of your color palette? Are you worried that it'll be too expensive or too time-consuming? Ricciardi Interiors specialize in interior and exterior color consulting, and we're a full-service interior design company. For 20 years, we've been giving our clients that designer look without the designer price tag. I'm Carolyn Ricciardi, and I look forward to designing with you. Find us at ricciardi-interiors.com.
Disorganized? Can't find papers or clothes when you need them? You want to be organized but don't know where to start? I'm Isabel Wells of All in Order Professional Organizing Services, and I will help you determine your organizing goals, where to start, what organizing tools to use, and how to stay organized after I leave. I will help organize any room in your home or home office, organize your children's rooms, or just get rid of clutter. Check out my website for more information, orderbywells.com.
Ladies, does your guy's wardrobe tell the world who he really is? Do his clothes fit and feel the way he wants them to, or is he just too busy to shop? I'm Jay Hilburn, men's stylist Sini Bostrom. Let me come to his home or office at his convenience with a selection of fine Italian fabrics and help create his personal signature, be it custom shirting, made-to-measure suiting, or accessories. I can even help build his social wardrobe, all at often half the price of comparable retail. Call me, Sini Bostrom, at 781-696-5238.
If operating your small business has you stressed, impacts your health, chips away at your relationship, and eats up all of your free time, Simple Small Business Solutions can help you implement business systems that make running your business easier. Whether you're trying to make more sales, struggling to get your marketing done, or want better information to manage your business, we can help. Visit us at SimpleSmallBusinessSolutions.com.
Welcome back to Power. We are here with Isabel Wells, and she is with All in Order, is the name of your business, but your right. website is orderbywells.com. I do want to mention that you have been in business for over 15 years.
15 and a half years
we
already.
We didn't even mention that in the beginning.
Yep.
And what a long time. So what I want to ask you next is, what is the best place to start? I know you talked about your favorite place is the kitchen, and second favorite was what, the closets?
The closets, yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think is the best place for someone to start getting organized or have their main place begin?
When someone contacts me, they usually have a place in mind already. I mean, they're saying, my desk is a mess, I need your help, or I can't find anything in my closet, or something like that. So they've almost pretty much determined what the place is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then I will go to them. I offer a free half-hour consultation, usually, depending upon where they are, if they're not too far away. And I go in and we discuss, okay, what are your problem areas, and why do you think this is the most important place to start? And we discuss how we're going to do it, what the time frame might be, how many hours they may need to dedicate to it, what they may do when I leave to keep it up, or to I give them homework to do so that mm-hmm. things continue, the momentum continues.
Mm-hmm.
And then we decide when we have that meeting what's important. They may have just told me that their closet was really important, and I'm going to tell them, well, you know what, I don't think it's your closet, I think it's your bedroom, because what's in your bedroom might be the problem with what's going into your closet.
Oh,
not enough storage
there.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
So they have you come for one thing, and you're like, sorry, I think that this is where your real problem
yeah,
is.
Yeah, sometimes that happens. Yeah.
But that's good.
Yeah, it's okay. As long as they have the time to dedicate to doing that,
mm-hmm.
unless they have a small chunk of time or, you know, their budget is limited and they want to just focus on a certain thing, then that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we'll do that. And hopefully that'll make an impact and keep them organized.
Mm-hmm. So. All right. Now I have a little thing I want to share. Okay, I have four children, and throughout the years I've been a stay-at-home mom. And every now and then, when I sort of had it up to here, I'm putting my hand to my top of my head, with all of the toys and the mess, I literally would just take everything and dump it in the center of the room and start taking the larger pieces out and organizing where they go. And I don't know if this is a good practice. It's a little... I don't know, over the top, but my kids loved it, and they would find toys that they hadn't played with in years or whatever, and so, but they would just join in automatically when I did this.
Yeah, make and a game out of it. That's what it turns into.
Sort of a, well, the game starts as yelling, and then it turned into a fun thing.
Right.
But is that the best, what's the best way to tackle a project?
Well, generally, it's not dumping things in the middle of the room, but...
Okay.
It depends on what those things are. I mean, you have a big playroom and you got a lot of toys. Hey, why not? Yeah. And if your kids are more cooperative and they want to help and make a game out of it, you know, say, let's find all the red things or let's find all the balls or, you know, it's helpful to get them excited about
let's
without having
decorate.
To yell and scream. Yeah.
Let's redecorate the room. Let's organize it. That's a question or a statement that I sort of just slip right in, and the kids they get all excited about decorating. I don't know why.
Yeah, as long as you let them do that when you're finished, it's not just a ploy, you know.
No. We rearrange, and then I, you know, maneuver my way in there and move the things where I want them. But yeah, so really, it's you know, not the best way to do
generally,
it.
Generally, no, but you know, with the toy situation, it's not a bad thing because you do find things you haven't used, and kids may want to reuse, or you've outgrown them, and you can talk to your kids too at the same time about how they could possibly donate these things to kids who don't have any, you know, enough of them.
Yeah.
Or look how many balls we have. We don't need 10 balls. We only need 5 balls.
Stuffed,
you know,
animals.
Yeah, it may be a good thing to do it that way, but in general, you don't just like dump your stuff in your kitchen cabinets onto the floor and
go for it.
The
pots and pans and the dishes all on the floor. No, I don't do that. I just do that with the toys and the laundry or whatever.
Right.
Soft stuff.
Right. Okay.
Now, how do you say, I know you must save your clients time and money? To explain to me how, because I'm not sure I know how, other than I'm sure you can find people different inexpensive alternatives for what they're using, or you know, certain containers that you can help them get at Walmart versus, you know, whatever, or different places online. How do you save them time and money?
Well, the money part comes in. Well, when I organize with a client, I tell them, please don't go out and buy any containers.
Yeah, don't buy anything
Buy anything yet. We'll see what you have to use and what you have left when we're done purging, you know, getting rid of the stuff. And then we'll see what we need to organize with.
Mm-hmm.
And I will go out and I will buy things for them if they want me to. I mean, I do charge my regular rate for that, which is, you know, not necessarily in everybody's budget. Mm-hmm. Or I will tell them where I've found things for them to go and check it out themselves or online. You know, I've got resources all over the place online for stuff.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to save them money by not buying lots of stuff they don't need. And the time part is just it's focused time with the client. It's not distracted time. Whereas if you did something yourself, you'd be distracted by the phone or the kids or the laundry or something.
You might not necessarily finish it.
And you might not necessarily finish it. You may not accomplish what you wanted to accomplish. With me, it's focused time. I keep the momentum going. I try to keep them on track, and they save a lot of time that way. They're not frustrated that they couldn't get it done in 2 hours.
And they save time because there's a statistic out there how much time we spend looking for stuff.
Yeah.
I don't
especially on the internet.
I don't know what the statistic is, but it's a big statistic. It's a big number.
That's a big time waster. And also on the other side again with the money, if people are chasing around looking for stuff at stores, you're wasting lots of gas, and there, you know, we all know how expensive gas is, and you don't want to be doing that, and it's not good for the environment and all that stuff. But you know, that can save people a good chunk of time and money.
And you're wasting more time and money by repurchasing things that you might already have at home.
Right.
I'm a big, you know, use what you've got before you.
There's so many organizing things out there. I mean, look at the Container Store. You walk in there and you become completely overwhelmed. It's like, oh, wow, it'd be really nice to have this, this, and this. But do you really need this, this,
really,
and this?
Yeah. Now, do you go to the store with people,
will.
Your clients? You can, and you have.
Yeah, the Container Store actually is a great place to go. It's a little more expensive than some other places. You know, there's Target and Walmart and all those places. But the Container Store has it all there. It's everything is there.
Where is the Container Store? There is such a thing as the Container
Store? Well, the one I go to near to where I live is in Chestnut Hill.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure where it may. Maybe there's one in.
And it's called the Container Store.
Yeah. You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
You might want to make a trip there sometime and check it out.
I might want to check it out after I have your services, though, because I don't want to buy anything unnecessarily.
That's right.
Okay. Now, how does everyone stay organized after you leave?
That's a good question. Not everybody does. I have six or seven maintenance clients who just are too busy to really deal with a daily organizing or monthly or whatever, and they've just resigned themselves to the fact they can't do it.
Oh, so they just have you help.
They just have me come in and we go through, you know, certain things that every month or every couple of weeks or whatever and keep them on track.
Mm-hmm.
And they do pick up, you know, organizing tips and they do, you know, use them, and they are more organized than they used to be, but they just can't seem to keep everything sort of together all the time, which is fine. Not everybody can. It's not, you know, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect. I'm very non-judgmental and, you know.
How do you not judge when you walk in?
You
really have to just put it aside. Everybody's a person.
You do, and there are reasons for why things are the way they are.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody's got different circumstances, and, you know, I just try and go with the flow, and we figure things out, and we'll see what we can do.
You just have that grace and that tact that I don't have. No, I am. I ignore stuff. If I go to somebody's house and it's not as clean or what have you, mm-hmm. It's, you know, you can't judge because my house, you know, looks like crap sometimes. So,
well, we all have those times.
Yeah.
It can't be perfect.
Exactly. Well, we are out of time. I know it goes by so fast. I know. So orderbywells.com. Isabel Wells, thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for having me.
We're going to take another quick break and be back with my second guest, Mary Ellen Bafaro. I do want to mention that all of the commercials played during the show are exclusively guests of Power. I'm Nicole Perry, and so keep that Power button on right here on 95.9 WATD.
Wouldn't you agree we are in the midst of a health and financial crisis? Toxicity, busy lifestyles, and a bankrupt food supply represent serious health hazards. Isagenics has been at the front lines of this battle for more than a decade. If it's the tough economy that has you worried, Isagenics can redefine your lifestyle. I'm Sarah Prairio. I am passionately committed to helping you live a balanced life with solutions for optimal nutrition and financial peace. You can contact me today at isaforwellness@gmail.com. That's isaforwellness@gmail.com.
Hello, this is Stephanie, one of the leaders of True Leads Tuesdays. True Leads Tuesdays is a no-rules, no-fees networking group. The purpose of the group is to meet other business people, learn about their businesses, and explore topics common to small businesses. True Leads Tuesdays meets the second and fourth Tuesday of each month at Lorenzo's in Middleborough near the Rotary. Networking starts at noon. Meeting is at 12:30. Search for True Leads Tuesdays on Facebook. We're in Middleborough. This is Stephanie from True Leads Tuesdays. We can't wait to meet you.
You deserve an unforgettable girls' night in. Invite the ladies over for a Pure Romance by Amanda party. You'll laugh the night away while learning in a comfortable environment about spicing up your love life with the highest quality relationship enhancement products. Pamper yourself with my bath and beauty line. Turn up the heat with massage and stimulating products. Keep it going with premium bedroom accessories. I have something for everyone. Parties are free, and I spoil my hostesses with free products. Get all the details at pureromancebyamanda.com.
And welcome back to Power. We are here with Mary Ellen Bafaro, and she is with College Connections. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And I do want to mention you've got amazing credentials to back up your business. You have the Master's of Education from Harvard University Grad School. You have a Bachelor's in Government, I don't even know what that means, from Cornell University. And you were valedictorian of your high school class. Amazing. You've had your College Connections online business since January 2003. So what I want to know is, with all of this education, have you always been so passionate about education, even as a child?
Yes, school was always my thing. In fact, as a child, small child, my sister and I used to play cellar school, and I was always a teacher.
You told me that.
And I always gave tons of homework to my sister. It drove her crazy. But we had actual desks and a chalkboard, and the neighborhood kids came in, and I was always the teacher. So in 2003, I was driving to a house I go house to house, and I was driving to a house of a client, and I called my sister and I said, Seller School is still alive, except we've moved upstairs now. We work with kids in the kitchen.
Oh, that's adorable. Ah, that just gives me goosebumps that you actually called her to tell her that.
Oh, yeah, she's
when you started
up.
Your business. That's great. Now, how do you pull together like the best choices for schools for the students that have that desire for a combination of academic and recreational activities? How do you?
Well, the process starts with a 15-page questionnaire that I've put together.
Oh, okay.
On all of the factors that go into looking at schools, from location, size, majors offered, and then the particular preferences of a student in terms of what type of dorm they live in, how big, you know, a campus. And then
is what they want.
Is what they want.
Yeah.
And I have the parents fill out a form, a questionnaire separately, and the student fill it out. And I reconcile the two.
Oh.
And put together with my knowledge of the best places in the country to study whatever it is they're looking
what
for.
What a great idea to have them each fill out their own.
Oh, yeah.
That's fabulous.
Because I'm hired many times as a third party just to mediate between student and parent. The process,
I can
because
see that.
Even kids who get along with their parents and agree with them usually, this process brings out the worst in everybody.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. And so there's a real need to have someone who's a third party that can be talked to and can offer different versions of what they're looking for, what they think they're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read somewhere about, I think I read it on your website, about having a theme for students and for the application. Is that really an important process?
Very much so nowadays.
And what does that mean? I know what a theme is.
Having a theme to your application means that, for example, if your story as a student is that you messed up freshman year, but you've been making it up sophomore year, junior year, you want to address that up front, and you want to have a theme of your application that shows that you're more than your GPA, that you're more than your test scores.
Mm-hmm.
And so if a kid has a lot of extracurricular activities, we play that up. You want your recommendation writers to support that theme. So you give them, I create a resume for my students that's a record of everything they've done in and out of school their whole life, extracurricular-wise, academically, their interests and their hobbies.
Even in, like, religion, like church.
Everything.
Anything.
Community
that
service,
in. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it gives the full, well-rounded picture of a kid. And I have that student not just use that with their applications, which definitely strengthens them, but I have them give it to the recommendation writers. People who only know them in one aspect would then see, wow, this kid's done all this stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to mention it in my letter. So again, pushes this theme that a kid is more well-rounded than just their GPA.
Oh, okay. Wow. Mm. That's really great that all of that, you know, feeds into each other.
Right.
It really does.
It then not only ensures acceptance, but it then guarantees a good financial aid offer because the admissions departments will rate a student's application and then that goes right to financial aid. And so they'll be offered, you know, more grants and scholarships and loans, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a huge
difference.
When
they see that they're more well-balanced.
Absolutely.
Now, what about the student? How important is it to have a high GPA in the high school years?
It's very important, but I think there's a lot of detail that underlies that. That also is noticed. It's better to do, it's better to challenge yourself with demanding courses. So it's better to get a C in an AP course than it is to get an A in a standard course, for example.
Yeah,
so the GPA,
that to me, yep.
The GPA might mislead you depending on the student. So when you look at their transcript, that really tells the story.
And depending on the school.
In the school, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So really, it's important, but there are certain aspects of it that, you know, if you just tweak and you just, you know, do better at a lower school, but if you just have a better grade, not a better grade, sorry, I'm being a little dyslexic here. I'm getting
okay.
It a little backwards. But if you have a lower grade in a higher
level course,
yes,
that's almost better.
Yeah.
Because it shows you're demanding, you know, you're challenging yourself, and colleges would rather have students that come there and really challenge themselves and represent themselves well than they do to have kids who just float by doing the minimum.
By doing the minimum, exactly.
Right.
I think that's what I was getting at. Now, how do you put a positive spin? I mean, basically, is it within the resume and the application?
Yes.
And is that how you sort of, I don't know, really focus on all of the positive aspects
right.
of the child?
The resume definitely brings that out. The other thing is I have the student write about it in their essays at some level. Maybe not the main two essays they have to write for what's known as the common application. But most of the schools have a supplemental application that allows you to really get into the backstory of a student's experience and what they're interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great place to talk honestly about, I never should have thought about becoming an engineer because now I want to go into nursing or
yeah.
whatever their story is, it allows it to come through.
Mm-hmm. And, well, we do have to go to a break, but I just want to talk real quick before we go. What about the student that has less desirable grades through high school? Is it really too late?
No.
It's.
In fact, I'm a big, big fan of community colleges. For a student who has not had a great experience in high school especially, and as an example, there's a local community college in Massachusetts where there's a program that teaches a kid all they should have learned in high school and then what they need to make the transition to a four-year school.
Really?
Changing kids' lives. It's an incredible thing, and it's much more comfortable environment for a student who hasn't typically done well in school.
Mm-hmm.
And so college is absolutely in their future. It's just at a different timeline than the average kid.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm not too bad in my situation with my children. Hopefully we can rectify any situations we have because my son just started high school.
Oh, good.
So, but we are going to take a quick break. I think this is our last break. We'll be right back with Mary Ellen Bavaro with College Connections Online. So please stay with us. You're listening to Power right here on 95.9 WATD.
Since my children saw their friends perform, they've been asking to take dance classes. I found out they go to Center Stage Dance Academy and they love it. Center Stage Dance Academy has just celebrated their 30th anniversary, and there are classes for my son and daughter in Plymouth and Sagamore Beach. My son is taking breakdancing and hip-hop classes. My daughter is in a combination class with ballet, tap, and jazz, and is joining her brother's hip-hop class. They also offer great sibling and multi-class tuition discounts. Visit centerstagestudios.net.
Are your students' math grades causing a divide in your family? Problems with understanding can grow exponentially. Cut those worries off at the root with College Connections. College Connections finds the common denominator for trouble your student might have with math or any subject and can get them back on track and in line with their learning potential with weekly or monthly tutoring or even small study groups. Call Mary Ellen Bavaro of College Connections for more information. 774-283-3219.
Are you looking for the relaxation station of the South Shore? Simply Soothing Sanctuary is the place to begin your journey. I'm Dee Davidson, and I believe you heal from the inside out, but that first you must journey in. With a labyrinth on site, meditation, and Kriya massage, the stage is set for all of your relaxation needs. Contact me at simplysoothingsanctuary.com.
Got photos? Physical Photos, formerly known as Images Everything, turns your photos into practical items that you can use every day. Order online at physicalphotos.com. Get great gifts like an iPhone cover with your kid's photo. Physical Photos cares about your photos and about the gifts they help you create. Ever had a photo party? Invite your family and friends over to see the most popular products from physicalphotos.com and earn free photo gifts. Or become a Physical Photos consultant today. Inquire at physicalphotos.com.
And welcome back to Power. We are here with Mary Ellen Bavaro. Her company is College Connections. You can contact her through her website, which is College Connections Online. But we just want to say that you really are, you work with students and parents face to face.
Yes.
So even though your website says online, you are in person.
Correct.
Okay. And tell us about the SAT prep that you do.
Typically, I start tutoring a student and preparing them for the SAT. And I know there's been a lot of buzz in the national media about schools dropping the SAT, and Harvard and Holy Cross have dropped it from their admissions. But most schools require an SAT score.
Some of them are dropping it.
Yeah.
Why are they doing that?
Because they don't think it's an adequate measure, representation of how a kid does in school. And prepping, you know, I prep kids for this test because it is a test of how well you take the test. It's not a measure of what you know and do.
That, I love that. It's a measure of how well you take a test.
Yes, and unfortunately, though, that process comes up and up and up in a kid's career. It'll come up when they apply to graduate school. It'll come up when they get certified in whatever occupational field they're in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's value in teaching a child how to take that type of test.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different from the MCAS in Massachusetts that kids have to take also. It's much trickier. I've had
the SAT is
the
much,
SAT,
trickier
much
than
trickier.
The MCAS.
The MCAS is much more a straightforward test of what a kid has been taught according to the Massachusetts curriculum
mm-hmm.
and framework. The SAT is really a test of avoiding the traps, and I teach kids strategies for how to avoid the traps and not fall into them. And I've had kids go up by as many as 540 points, changing the schools a kid can apply to, and that's where I come in and I'm passionate about it, because if it means a student can apply to a much more demanding set of schools,
mm-hmm.
I'm all for it. I think it's wonderful. And I can't imagine a kid not prepping for it because there's so much on the line that's connected to it.
Now, I just saw your video.
Oh, good.
We've got to mention that.
Okay.
So you had two videos done on PAC TV.
Mm-hmm.
And the most recent one, tell us, the listener, about who was the woman, the mother, that you were interviewed with.
Rachel is a client of mine. I met her in all the networking I do around my business. She was working for a different company when I first met her, and her son was only in eighth grade. And she said, I'll be talking to you in a few years. Well, she waited. She held my card, and she called me. Her son, Cam, was being recruited for tennis, needed some help prepping for the SAT and then doing the whole application process. And I helped him, and he just is driving to school today as we speak and just won a full scholarship. Tuition scholarship to Colby Sawyer College in New Hampshire.
But she really dedicated all
she was
of
wonderful.
That to you.
Yeah.
She said had she not met you and not had you help her through that process.
Well, I think it was helpful to her, especially because she's a single mother. And it was her only experience with the process outside of herself, you know, 20 whatever years before.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that made a big difference for her, having someone to rely on. And I know it helped me to also know that about their situation, because it allowed me to have a little bit more direction and to push a little bit more
mm-hmm.
with him.
Yeah.
Because he was being recruited also. A lot of parents make the mistake of letting their sports recruitment process kind of drive it, when it really has to be driven by what's the best place academically for what the kid wants to study.
Yes.
And where can they get the combination of sports and academics that's important to them.
And it's that overall balance of all of it brought together.
Exactly.
Now, I know you have a compelling soft spot for the single moms, or
yes.
really is it just the parent that is the one who's responsible for researching the information?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not necessarily a single parent.
No, it's typically the parent. The parents who hire me are the parent or parents who manage their child's education.
Mm-hmm.
That role usually falls to the mother, but depending on the backgrounds of the parents, it could very much fall to the father also. It's just
mm-hmm.
they're very busy
mm-hmm.
and they need to have, you know, a more efficient process, and that's what I can bring to the table,
mm-hmm.
Is helping them manage the process but not have to hound their kids and get on them about deadlines and that kind of thing. And
yeah.
I know that relieves the stress. It's a stressful process no matter what.
Because you take that on.
Because I have a third-party role where I'm taking it on, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's helpful.
And what are some of the most common mistakes that parents make? I mean, you know, do you get a lot of parents that already try to tackle this on themselves and then they throw in the towel and they say
I've had parents who will email me spreadsheets and tell me that those are the schools they want me to push with their child, and I'll say, do you not know they're going to know exactly where this came from? It's funny. But I don't do that. And this is where I have,
what do you mean spreadsheets?
A spreadsheet or a document with schools. Talk to my son about these schools tomorrow.
Oh.
And I'll say, I'm sure you've already mentioned half these to him. He's going to know these came from you and not me.
Oh.
That's where my beginning process of using the college research questionnaire comes into play.
Yeah.
because it's right then and there that I address, okay, these are the schools that your parents wanted you to look at. This is what you're interested in.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm saying to you.
Yes.
And that, going forward, just takes a lot of the stress out of
it. So you're really a mediator.
Yeah. Well, a mediator.
Yeah.
Or I call it a coach function.
Yeah.
I'm an academic coach to students. I don't take the test for them, but I try to help them do better on it.
Yeah.
And I'm a coach to parents, or a consultant to parents,
mm-hmm.
in terms of telling them what today's deal is like with schools, because it's so different even from 10 years ago when I started
mm-hmm.
my practice.
How much has it changed?
Oh, incredible. The average student in Massachusetts applies to 12 to 16 schools just to have choices.
Oh, my God.
I mean, from a cost perspective, that's insane.
Yeah.
And it also doesn't
guarantee.
Well,
because every application costs money.
At least $50.
And so why are parents putting so many applications out there?
Well, I think part of it is,
can't
just,
they just narrow it down to three? And then
no.
Just because they just don't want to be unaccepted?
No,
in the
I
school?
Think it's just the fear of not getting in anywhere. And then what do you do? You know, it's tough.
Wow.
So what I try to do is I put a list of schools together. It's usually, I'd say, 8 schools that have a couple of reach schools, a couple of targets, or more, a majority of targets, and then 1 or 2 safeties, as much as you can call any school a safety, and that's very rare that you can do that these days.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I don't know if I would do that automatically. I think I would choose schools that were within the realm of the child.
Yeah.
You know? But I know, I definitely think that people do need help. And I think that there's just too much information out there.
Exactly.
Especially for people that are full-time, you know, work
yes.
full-time. How, this is a full-time job in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you even begin? You know? I think that it's important to get help.
Oh, I agree. And I think the nice thing about having a third party involved is that it's a constant, somebody's constantly watching the issue.
And the
paying
clock.
Attention to
and
it,
the clock.
And the timeline, exactly.
Wow. Well, we are almost out of time. I want to mention your company again. It's College Connections. And people can find your information and contact you. You must have a Contact Us page.
Yes.
And it's collegeconnectionsonline.com. But you do meet with people. How far do you go? How far are you willing
I've
to go?
I've gone to the other side of the state.
Oh, okay.
It's a transportation charge I do assess, and it requires planning, but I'll go anywhere.
Good.
Yeah.
So people can contact you and
exactly.
then take it from there.
Yeah.
And hopefully they've seen your PAC TV interview, because it was wonderful.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank you for listening and recognizing powerful women. You can discover and connect with all of our guests at facebook.com/powerfulwomenrevealed. If you've got a business and you want to share your story, contact me about being the one of the women of power. I'm Nicole Perry, and you can find all my information right here at 959watd.com. We'll be back next Sunday after the news at noon. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.